Mini-episode 30 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Outside the Box Score, your home on the web for entertaining sports columns and videos. Follow them on the web at outsidetheboxscore.blogspot.com.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, this is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris welcoming you to one of the four lounge mini-episodes that comprise the fifth edition of the FDH Pantheon. I am joined by FDH Lounge dignitaries Tim Faust and Kyle Ross. The FDH Pantheon is our celebration of the best from all walks of life. These mini-episodes also bring our total amount of FDH Lounge programming to 500 hours over the course of the show's history, dating back to January 14, 2007. Members of the FDH Lounge Pantheon are voted in by the FDH Academy of Arts and Sciences, which is comprised of the FDH Lounge dignitaries and other advisors and supporters of FDH. Here are the members of the Pantheon. The first class inducted on June 20th, 2008 is as follows. Best President Ronald Reagan, Best Country Other Than the U.S., Canada, Best Motion Picture The Godfather, Best Thespian Kevin Costner, Best Female Bombshell Raquel Welch, Best Musical Performer or Group Bon Jovi, Best TV Show All in the Family, Best TV or Movie Cartoon Character Bugs Bunny, Best Comic Book Character Superman, Best Pro Wrestler Ric Flair, Best Basketball Player, Michael Jordan. Best Football Player, Jim Brown. Best Race Car Driver from any circuit, Richard Petty. Best Hockey Player, Wayne Gretzky. Best Baseball Pitcher, Nolan Ryan. Best Baseball Hitter, Babe Ruth. Personally, I should note before I go any further that I do not stand behind the results of the voting. Like all of the voters, I cast a vote for some of the winners, and in some cases, I'm quite horrified by how the results manifested themselves. But discussion and controversy are all part of the fun of the Pantheon. The second class, inducted on July 18, 2009, is as follows. Best Pro Sports Coach or Manager, Paul Brown. Best Sporting Event, the Super Bowl. Best Fantasy Sport, football. Best Olympic Sport, hockey. Best Sportscaster Play-by-Play, Vin Scully. Best Sportscaster Color Commentator, John Madden. Best Sports Movie, Bull Durham. Best Movie Villain, Joker, the Heath Ledger version. Best Pro Wrestling Manager, Bobby Heenan. Best Video Game Non-Sports, Grand Theft Auto. Best Musical Guilty Pleasure, Phil Collins' Air Drum Solo to In the Air Tonight. Best Non-U.S. City, Toronto. Best U.S. City, New York City. Best Political Scandal, Watergate. Best Seinfeld Episode, The Soup Nazi. Best TV Commercial Character, Mr. Whipple. The third class, inducted February 17, 2010, is as follows. Best Sports Writer, Terry Pluto. Best Underappreciated Athlete, Kenny Lofton. Best Heavyweight Boxer, Muhammad Ali. Best Non-Heavyweight Boxer, Sugar Ray Leonard. Best MMA Competitor, Chuck Liddell. Best Single Sporting Event or Game Ever, Miracle on Ice. Best Sports General Manager or Executive, Bill Polian. Best Sports Stadium or Arena, Wrigley Field. Best Sports Video Game, Madden Football. Best Pro Wrestling Tag Team, The Road Warriors. Best Late Night Talk Show Host, Johnny Carson. Best TV Drama or Comedy Character, Cosmo Kramer. Best Foreign Cuisine, Italian. Best Comedian, Richard Pryor. Best Live Musical Performer, Bruce Springsteen. Best Sandwich, Corned Beef Sandwich from Goodman's Sandwich Inn in Cleveland. And the fourth class of the Pantheon, inducted November 10th, 2010, is as follows. The Best Super Bowl, Steelers-Cardinals, Super Bowl 43. Best Comeback Game, regardless of sport, Bills-Oilers, January 3rd, 1993 playoff game. Best Single Season Pro Team, regardless of sport, 1995-96 Chicago Bulls. Best Pro Franchise, regardless of sport, New York Yankees. Best College Coach, regardless of sport, Mike Krzyzewski. Best Sports Tradition, Handshake Line After a Stanley Cup Playoff Series. Best College Football Program, Ohio State. Best Genre of Motorsports, the Sprint Cup. Best Pro Wrestling Monster Bad Guy, The Undertaker. Best Movie Franchise, combining original and sequels, Star Wars. Best Innovative TV Series 24, Best Song, Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin, Best Continent, North America, Best Fast Food Meal or Sandwich, Mr. Hero Cheeseburger, Best American Tradition, Independence Day, Best Animal or Fish in a Zoo or Aquarium, Dolphin. Additionally, we recognize what we call the Pantheon within the Pantheon. It consists of inductees who won their category with more than 50% of the total vote. They are as follows. From the second class of inductees, football as best fantasy sport. From the third class of inductees, Madden as best sports video game and Muhammad Ali as best heavyweight boxer. From the fourth class of inductees, North America as best continent. John Madden is the only two-time inductee of the Pantheon, winning for best color commentator and best sports video game. We hope you enjoy our Pantheon broadcast as much as we enjoy bringing them to you. In the event of any ties in the balloting, they will be broken on the air by our dignitaries hosting the show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to induct the fifth class of the FDH Pantheon. All right, it's time for the Pantheon, the non-sports categories, part one. Rick Morris, Tim Faust, Kyle Ross. We have three categories here in this segment that we're going to be doing. Best pro wrestling group or stable, best vacation spot outside the U.S., and best TV-turned movie star. This is where we get truly random on the non-sports categories here. Pro wrestling group or stable, all kinds of fun ones here when you start looking at what got one vote apiece. These are truly random. One vote, John Adams votes for the Killer Bees. Not technically a stable, but it's a funny vote nonetheless. One vote for the Von Erichs. Again, not technically a stable. They're brothers.
It could kind of count.
Dave Adams voted for the Von Erichs. Only one vote out of anybody for DX. A little surprised about that. D-Generation X with only one vote.
Kind of glad.
Jeff Maslanich, who is notorious for not knowing or caring anything about pro wrestling, but he always likes to vote in our categories and frequently casts an absurd vote. Casts his vote based on a Wikipedia search for the Main Event Mafia as the greatest pro wrestling group or stable of all time. And Kyle, let me answer your question before you ask it. He doesn't have a Smart Mark card to turn in, so don't worry about that. One vote for the Legion of Doom from Tim Dustin. I'm assuming that's the old Georgia Championship Wrestling Legion of Doom.
You might be assuming too much, yes.
Yeah.
I think other than you and I don't think anyone involved knew that.
Okay.
Yeah.
One from Bob Glassman here. Bob, who he always casts an eyebrow-raising one. For the greatest pro wrestling group or stable of all time, a vote for, wait for it, the House of Humperdinck. Down in Florida Championship Wrestling. Your thoughts, Kyle Ross?
It's quite an obscure pick. But you know what? It actually qualifies. More scared, yes.
It does.
Killer Bees is what makes me laugh.
Well, this next one's going to make you laugh, too. The Scout Ken Bex has this unbelievable love for this next entity here. He voted for them for best tag team previously. Now he votes for them for best group or stable. The Powers of Pain. He votes for as the best of all time, Warlord and Barbarian.
Hopefully it wasn't the Baron von Raschke years.
I think it was, probably, yes. One vote for the Hart Foundation. Again, probably, I'm guessing, the stable era of that. That was Mike Ptak that voted for
that's
them.
That's a good pick by Ptak. I was going to say, I guarantee with Ptak it was the 97 stable.
Yeah, with him it would be. Two votes just generically for the WWE. I don't get that.
Yeah, but that's a scratch.
Okay. Now we start getting into the serious contenders here. Out of the 21 total votes cast, 11 were for the winner and the runner-up. The runner-up, including what I voted for and what you voted for, Kyle Ross, the Four Horsemen. They get five votes.
Should have won.
Should have
won, but I know who did win.
Should have won. The winner and no vote cast for you by you.
I would have voted for the Killer Bees.
The Killer Bees.
I do remember the Killer Bees.
You and Johnny
that
both
was in my
could have done
house.
That. The whole mask confusion right, with the mask on.
Oh, God. Mask confusion, yeah. Herb Abrams.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, remember that email, by the way?
Yeah.
The old Herb Abrams email? Yes.
I do.
Yes.
I do remember that.
That's one of the favorite emails I've ever sent.
I just love, by the way, Herb Abrams. You remember what the name of one of his jobbers was?
Davey Meltzer.
Yes, Davey Meltzer. That was awesome.
Was Mr. X part of a stable?
Mr. X?
Yeah,
no,
Mr. X?
He was by himself.
From Parts Unknown?
Yes, yeah.
There are a lot of guys from Parts
Wade
Unknown.
Unknown.
Yeah.
Wade Unknown. Just big question marks, yeah.
Origins Unknown. Yeah. The winner with six votes, of course, is the NWO. And
I can't complain about it. I mean, once again, I mean, I could probably give you a detailed 45-minute breakdown of, you know, why not, but that's not for this show, not for this time.
Well, again, I would agree with you that it should have been the Four Horsemen. I think you would agree, I'm sure, with what has been said by Ric Flair and many others. The Four Horsemen setting the modern template for stables. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
The NWO wouldn't have been what it was without the Four Horsemen.
Yeah, but it was more outside the box. It's kind of tough to compare the two.
Well,
actually,
NWO was kind of an invasion also.
Yeah, it was more, you know. Right. It wasn't. They weren't exactly the same. Either one's fine. I mean, I can live with it.
Yeah. I can't argue with it that much. I wanted it to be the Horsemen, and it would have been great in honor of past and hopefully future lounge guest J.J. Dillon. I wish I could tell J.J. that they'd won this.
Oh, we interviewed J.J. back in the day. He's a good
man.
Yeah,
that's right. He was on your show as well.
Yeah, but both,
excellent guy.
Yeah, both. Wonderful. Both guy. Entities suffered, like, from... over, you know, just
right.
doing it too much, rehashing.
Right.
I mean, but you know, both groups had their nadirs as well as their high points.
What I love J.J. Dillon for as well, he agreed with me when I brought this up during the course of our conversation, just how criminally underappreciated Ronnie Garvin was and remains to this day. He agreed with me on how great Ronnie Garvin is.
Well, you threw him that softball, you hit it out of the park.
Yes, he did. He did. He put over Ronnie Garvin like neck bone, and I appreciate the man for that. But having said that, the NWO. We left the Slammy or the Slammy Award. There's a Freudian slip.
Yes, it's
the Dundee Award. I guess the Slammys will be in December of this year. I guess, as it's generally been the last couple of years. Best vacation spot outside the U.S. This always draws out the entire run of the spectrum, as it were. Here, two half votes here cast by Chris Galloway. So we start with those two. Chris Galloway, another one of our original dignitaries like Tim and myself. A half vote for the Seychelles and a half vote for Amsterdam. So those two...
This is vacation spot specifically, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because we previously had a category best non-U.S. city, right?
Yes, exactly. Okay. This is specifically vacation. Yeah.
The story of the game here.
Amsterdam, that one in particular is very interesting. But yes, Amsterdam and the Seychelles get us started here. One vote for Vancouver, but Kyle, you voted for Vancouver Island. Interestingly enough, those votes came in back-to-back. The second-to-last vote cast was by Russ Cohen, who voted for Vancouver. You ended this by voting for Vancouver Island. Out of the 21 votes, the 19 previous to you two, nobody voted for either of those two. Once again, the randomness of voting.
Actually, I can't bring up, you know, why it's a good vacation spot or whatever, you know.
I remember from the old Sunday night submission, you and the little guy telling a story about that. I think it was the little guy talking about seeing a dude shooting up at an intersection or something.
Yes, that was the first time I ever went to Vancouver. Yeah. Yes, we get on the bus because I took a cruise with my parents around Alaska.
Right.
I'll make it quick. And, you know, you get on, welcome to Vancouver. It's the most beautiful city in the world. First stoplight, we stop at the bus, you know, after the cruise, we take a bus to our hotel in Vancouver. You look right out the window, and there's a guy just shooting up right there in the alleyway. Parents were just grabbing their children away, you know, when they're like, what's he doing, Mommy? I was laughing so hard.
Best part is, you're telling a story on the show back in the day, and the classic retort was, that's what makes life worth living.
Yes.
What a great moment.
Yes.
That dude could ad-lib, let me tell you. One vote for Bora Bora, one vote for Sicily, a vote for Buenos Aires. I told you these were all over the place. One vote for Rome, one for the Greek Isles. One vote for Paris, one vote for Isla Roatan in Honduras, excuse me, one vote for Jamaica, one for Cinque Terre, I think that's Cinque, C-I-N-Q-U-E, Terre, one vote for Italy.
Do we even know where that is?
I have no idea personally.
Okay.
One vote for the south of France. Who's the landed gentry who voted for that one here? That was... Nate Noy voting for the south of France.
There you go.
There's your landed gentry. There you go.
A man still in favor of the feudal system, I believe. Yes.
Has he ever been to the south of France?
I don't know. And, of course, I've never been to the one that I voted for. So,
okay.
I don't know.
I find that interesting. Don't you think that's wrong? Shouldn't you have been to the place?
I think so. Which is why I started thinking that's why these are all over the map. People all choose different vacation destinations. So,
I chose an aspirational vacation.
Oh, that's
can we
fine.
Do that?
Excuse me.
All right, now we can start getting into the combos here.
Rick's tiki.
Yes. More than one vote here on these next couple of ones. There were two votes for Cancun.
Was that one? Was I in that?
No, you voted for the Greek Isles. You were the singular vote for the Greek Isles.
And I've never been to the Greek
okay,
Isles. I'm not kidding.
Aspirational vote as well.
Yeah, that's funny.
Nice. There were two votes for the Bahamas. And interestingly enough, they were two votes. There was only one vote in between that was for Italy. And the other two were the Bahamas. And again, nobody voted for that after that or before. It's just interesting how these clump up. Our good friend Ron Glasnap, one of the two who voted for the Bahamas, they almost won this thing, but out of the 21 total votes, this was pretty spread out. The winner, and this is one of the few winners that I had over the course of the night, and I'm surprised this got any kind of traction, but it was only three votes. Australia. I voted for Australia. Again, as far as aspirational vacation spot, would love to catch an Aussie Rules football game there. I've told our good friend Dave Adams how jealous I am that he and the old lady got to do that when they were down there.
I recommend it. I have been there.
Have you been there?
Yes.
Have you?
And he didn't vote for it. What do you got to say about that?
Wow. Exactly.
Did you make it to the Oval and get to watch a game?
Well, I have actually a very bitter story about that. The guy, a very good friend of mine, lives there.
Uh-huh.
He hosted me, and I said, I want to go to Australian Rules game. He's like, oh, yeah, we'll go.
What part of the country?
Well, he right now he lives outside of Melbourne.
Okay.
At the time, he was living in Melbourne.
Okay.
He traveled up to Sydney.
Okay.
I think we had planned on going to a game in Melbourne.
Okay.
And he said, oh, yeah, we'll just walk up and get tickets. Walk up and get tickets. No. Of course, we walk up and get tickets. Game sold out.
Do you remember who you tried to see?
No.
Because it was it on the West End? Of Melbourne, because my favorite team is the Western Bulldogs.
Goodness gracious, I've been there. You know more about the city than I do.
No, but I just know.
You have a favorite West. You have a favorite team.
Yeah, the Western Bulldogs. I was just curious if you went to their.
I don't think it was that. I think it was the Telstra Field.
Okay.
Stadium.
I don't know if they
share stadiums or whatever there. Pretty. I mean, I think it was 70,000 seat stadium.
Okay. I've actually started over the last 2 years. You can stream the games to watch. So I've even signed up for that. But it's one of those things, and of course, they nickname the sport their footy. And it's one of those things where you have to be careful of talking about this in certain company because it can be really misinterpreted if you say that you want to go check out your streaming footy package. People really have a way of misinterpreting that. Yeah, that can come off very badly.
We talked about American football here, being like set up for American football. They've kind of modeled the footy. Like the whole, because I think they do games Friday nights and Saturday nights, or whatever. But every game's on TV. You know, it's kind of like, similar to here, where they put every game on TV. Now, I think you have the ability. I think there's two different networks that show the games and everything. So I think you have the ability, unlike here, to see every game, without some sort of package or whatever, without a footy package.
Oh,
but interesting, how they kind of. The model kind of is going towards TV there, as is here.
Yeah, and they're figuring out how to monetize, on the fantasy end and everything like that, which I think is getting to be kind of a universal type thing. But Australia, it's a place that I've always wanted to check out, haven't gotten a chance to yet. But my vote, along with two other votes here, end up putting it in the Panthers.
Adams voted for
the other. No, they didn't. I mean, he and the wife have been there. Alex Slemp voted for that, so we'll have to tell him at the baseball auction he voted for a winner. And
he had Dave Nilsson on his
the other one, and Raymond Smalley as well. Platinum Smalls ends up voting for that. So our three votes end up enshrining Australia as we lift the Dundee Award for the country/continent of Australia as the best vacation spot outside the U.S. And our last one for this segment, the best TV-turned-movie star. There were some very interesting ones here. Particularly when you start looking at some of the ones where only one vote was cast. 24 votes total were cast in this category here out of a possible 27 with our voting jury here from the FDH Academy of Arts and Sciences. The votes cast were for one for Leonardo DiCaprio, one for Shia LaBeouf.
What show was DiCaprio on?
Yeah. I don't even know, to be honest with you.
I believe Ricky. I think you're such a nice man, Ricky. You're such a nice man, Ricky. You need to drop the hammer on these people. You need to see in public people know you're not playing right.
It was.
I don't know. I mean, he could have been.
On the LaBeouf one, it was. He was on some Nickelodeon show or something, and
always on a Nickelodeon. It seems like everyone was on a Nickelodeon show.
I said to somebody the other day, I said, I cherish my ignorance of this guy, so whatever. I'm not even going to bother to look into what show he was on or whatever.
Kind of a knob.
One vote for Robin Williams. I think we all know what show that was. One vote for Jason Segel. One vote for Kiefer Sutherland, although as somebody was telling me, somebody was making the point to me that it should have gone the other way.
Exactly, yeah.
I think it was me. I was saying
that. Yeah, you were saying that, Kyle.
To me, if it's the other way, movie to TV, he's by far the clear winner. He'll never be remembered. I mean, he should be, because he was a pretty good actor for
Ashton
movies.
Kutcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Could be involved in that game. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
He's TV to movie back to TV.
That's true.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
And I think
Kiefer is truly movie to TV.
I mean, he'll never be remembered for his movie roles as much as Jack Bauer.
That's true. Yeah. One vote for The Rock, which I guess technically, I mean, Raw and SmackDown are TV.
Yeah,
shows.
That is, yes. And it wasn't me, by the way. Point that out. I would never, you know, pimp it that hard.
Talk about stretching the bounds on that one there. Two votes for Johnny Depp as we start getting into the ones that got multiple votes. Two votes.
That was my pick, wasn't it?
Voted, yes, you voted for Johnny Depp. You were one of the two votes for him along with, who was the other one? The other one was the aforementioned Platinum Smalls. He voted for
Good
Johnny
man.
Depp as well. Two votes for Clint Eastwood, which I hadn't even really remembered. But I guess he was like a quasi-regular on Gunsmoke or something, or Bonanza, or one of those friggin' old shows. I don't even know. But somebody was pigeonholing me that one shouldn't count because he might not have been a regular on the show. And I don't know about that.
And Leonardo DiCaprio was a regular on his Nickelodeon show.
DiCaprio, I think he might have been on a conventional sitcom, but probably a marginal part. I don't even know. I'll look that up after the fact just because I'm curious about that now. Two votes, including one from me for Bruce Willis. I'm a Bruce Willis mark. Loved Moonlighting back in the day, at least until it jumped the shark.
I didn't vote for Bruce Willis.
The other vote, well, he got two. So your vote, no, you voted for the winner. You did not vote for Bruce Willis. The other vote for Bruce Willis came from John Adams. So he and I were the only two votes for Bruce Willis. You voted for the winner. Three votes for Will Smith. I'm just rolling my eyes at that one. Not a big Will Smith guy. Three votes for George Clooney. And that brings
that's
us...
That's not a bad pick.
No, that's not a bad pick. That brings us to the winner here with six votes, twice as much as the second place participants here, but only a quarter of the total vote pool, Tom Hanks. Who, interestingly enough, we just had on his old cohort, Peter Scolari, recently on the program, and we're talking about bosom buddies with him, and lo and behold, Tom Hanks ends up winning this thing. You voted for Tom Hanks along with five others, Tim.
I'm a sellout. I think we talked about lazy votes before. I think that was a lazy vote. I probably couldn't. Because right in hindsight, I'm like, yeah, I would have voted for Bruce Willis, because I used to watch Moonlighting, and I'm a Bruce Willis fan.
Yeah.
I hate Tom Hanks, too.
Yeah.
So why would I vote
really?
For him? Yeah, I can't stand him. He's a lefty. Come on.
Oh well.
versus
an outspoken lefty.
Versus Kyle, who's the guy who thinks Obama's a sellout.
Yeah.
That's outstanding. Hanks ended up the winner with six votes here, and...
That was a good choice.
There wasn't a lot of drama in this. He was pulling away towards the end as the votes were coming in. There was a lot of drama until the last 10 votes or so, and then he started asserting himself. And, again, lefty or not, he ends up being our next enshrinee into the Pantheon. We lift the Dundee Award, the TV-turned-movie actor award going to Tom Hanks.